From Illinois Soul, this is Dialogue. I'm Reginald Hardwick, News and Public Affairs Director at Illinois Public Media. Dialogue is an exchange about culture straight from the soul. Early voting is underway for the March 17th primary. If you haven't already, make sure you're registered. Champaign County voters are choosing a new county executive. Since congresspeople are chosen every 2 years, those of you listening in central Illinois may have to vote in the 2nd, 13th, or 15th congressional districts. There are also two major statewide races. Democratic incumbent Governor J.B. Pritzker is running for re-election. He is running in the primary unchallenged. On the Republican side, former state senator Darren Bailey, researcher Ted Dabrowski, and video gambling mogul Rick Heidner are competing to take on Pritzker. And there are 16, yes, count them, 16 candidates for the U.S. Senate. This is an open seat because Dick Durbin, who had held the seat since 1997, is retiring. On February 15th, I served as moderator of a U.S. Senate forum featuring the Democratic frontrunners, Representative Robin Kelly, Representative Raja Krishnamurti, and Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton. It was taped before an audience at the Church of the Living God in Champaign. The forum was produced by the NAACP Illinois State Conference. It was an hour and a half long. But since this program, Dialogue, is only 50 minutes, we've condensed the program to just the highlights. First, opening statements in alphabetical order, starting with Representative Kelly.
Thank you to the NAACP, the moderators, the church, our host, for having us here today. I am Congresswoman Robin Kelly, and I'm working hard to be your next U.S. Senator. I'm the daughter of a postal worker and a grocer. I'm a mom and a dedicated public servant. I've been in Congress 13 years, and I'm running for Senate to make your life better and more affordable. Frankly, it pisses me off that Donald Trump and his billionaire buddies are just getting richer when individuals and families are struggling and feeling squeezed. My district is the biggest Democratic district in Illinois. I am truly urban, suburban, and rural, a microcosm of Illinois, and I see it and I hear it from all of my constituents, no matter where they live. And that's why I'm running on a platform of people over profits, because it is about time that millionaires, billionaires, and corporations pay their fair share of taxes. I'm not asking for more, just their fair share, so that we can have investments in housing and affordable housing. In the richest country in the history of the world, we can have health care for everyone. We can cap child care payments at $15 a day instead of people paying more for child care than they are for rent. So we can raise the minimum wage. It's been $7.25 on the federal level for way too long. So we can invest in economic development and economic growth so we can have economic opportunity. I'm not afraid to stand up, show up, or speak up. I've done it many times, whether it's the NRA, the health insurance companies, or political bullies, and I've won. We need someone in Congress that, yes, or in the Senate, yes, that knows how to fight, but also you need to know how to win. People are sick of us just fighting. They want to see results. And if you want a results-oriented person, then please, I hope to earn your vote tonight. Thank you so much.
Representative Krishnamurti.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you to the moderators. Thank you to the audience for taking precious time out of your schedules. I'm running for the U.S. Senate because of my backstory. As some of you know, I was born in India, came to this country when I was 3 months old to Buffalo, New York, which is where my father was studying engineering. Things went well, and then they suddenly went really badly in the recession of the 1970s. My father lost his income, but thanks to the generosity of the American people, we were allowed to move into public housing and food stamps and spent a good portion of my early childhood in those two life-sustaining programs. Then my father got on his feet and then got a great job in, of all places, Peoria, Illinois. Loaded up the U-Haul, drove to Peoria, and made it into the middle class. And pretty much every night at the dinner table, my father would say something along the lines of, think of the greatness of this country. Think of the greatness of this country, and whatever you do, make sure it's there for the next families who need it. So that became the North Star of my personal compass. Fast forward through college and law school, came back to Illinois, worked in the public and the private sectors, ran a small business for 7 years, and then got elected to Congress. And 10 years later, I'm still pursuing that mission statement given to me by my parents. Make sure this country is there for the next families who need it. And so now, as I seek to be your next U.S. Senator, I want to make sure that that American dream that we were privileged to attain is available to everybody, regardless of the color of your skin, regardless of how you pray or whom you love, and regardless of the number of letters in your name. There are 29 in mine. And so that's why I seek to be the U.S. Senator. Thank you so much.
Lieutenant Governor.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton. I've been so proud to serve as your Lieutenant Governor representing the entire state of Illinois for the last 7 years. And I'm especially proud to be here today running to represent you in the United States Senate. I want to thank President Theotis Page, the Illinois NAACP State Conference of Branches, chapter presidents and board members who are here, Love Corner Church, our moderators and our timekeepers, and all of you, whether you're here in person or virtually, for being civically engaged and coming to learn why this seat matters. I can tell you that right now, my path to running for United States Senate wasn't something that I always expected. It started 10 years ago when I was caring for my mother, Velma, in her final years of life. My mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and I was her primary caregiver. And I can tell you it was the hardest thing that I've ever done, but it was also the greatest honor of my life to care for her in her final years. But at that time, there was a state representative who was representing my district who was working to strip away health care from seniors like my mother. And I yelled at the television when I saw that story and said, somebody should run against him. And I didn't know it was me, but guess what? It ended up being me. Because I don't shy away from a good fight, and when I see a need, I step up to meet that need. So I ran and beat a 13-year incumbent, and I've now served in the House as your Lieutenant Governor, and I'm going to go to Washington because Donald Trump has ignited a 5-alarm fire. Everything that we care about is being threatened, health care, and so much more. And we need real fighters in Washington, and I came here this afternoon to tell you that I am that fighter. I will fight to make life more affordable. I will raise wages. I will make sure that we have expanded access for all, and I'll make sure we give a tax cut to the for the middle class and pay for it with a tax increase to those who are millionaires and billionaires. I look forward to taking your questions. Thank you for being here today.
We're replaying highlights from the February 15th U.S. Senate Forum featuring Democratic candidates Robin Kelly, Raja Krishnamurti, and Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton. Next, questions from the panelists. The first from James McFarland, president of the Decatur branch of the NAACP.
In your years of service as an elected official, what specifically have you done to reduce discrimination and advance human and civil rights? Second part of this question is, as a U.S. Senator, what concrete steps would you take to improve the well-being, educational outcomes, and economic security of Black communities?
First of all, thank you so much for the question. It's incredibly important. In my time in Congress in the last 10 years, have done a number of things, but maybe I'll focus just on a few. One is, I've tried to fight back efforts with regard to underfunding our educational system, which is unfortunately disproportionately harming African American communities. One of those areas that has profoundly been impacted is Title I, which is incredibly crucial for high poverty districts where unfortunately, again, African Americans are disproportionately represented. In addition, within the Justice Department, I fought back efforts to underfund the Civil Rights Division, which has been crucial for fighting back discrimination toward African Americans. Again, the Civil Rights Division has been gutted under the Trump administration, and that has unfortunately led to more discrimination. Going forward, what do we need to do? We need to fully fund the Justice Department, but we need to do more than that. I am proud to be a sponsor of Ayanna Pressley's commission to study reparation proposals. I think that's very important that we look back at our history of slavery. The world would be a better place if there weren't slavery. The world would be a better place if there weren't Jim Crow. But that's not the history we have. And so this commission is absolutely necessary, and I am proud to be a sponsor of that bill as well.
Okay, that's time, and Lieutenant Governor Stratton.
I will mention three things, because we know that civil rights are under attack right now from this administration. I want to talk about the birth equity initiative that I led for our administration, because when one day, 2 years ago, I called Governor Pritzker and I said, I'm really proud of the fact that we have made Illinois an island for reproductive freedom in the Midwest, but black women are still dying. And black women are dying at a rate that is three times that of our white counterparts, and we need to do something about it. And he agreed, and so I convened a group of doulas and midwives to come together and talk about solutions. And I can tell you that after a year of talking, or really it was less than that, about 6 to 8 months of talking, we passed monumental legislation in this state under my leadership, where now doulas and midwives and lactation consultants are covered whether you have Medicaid or whether you have private insurance, no copay. This is going to save lives and make sure that more women get access to the care that they need. I'm also proud of the fact that we ended book bans in Illinois. And that's important because book bans were really created to make sure that our stories don't get told. Diverse narratives, people that are from underrepresented voices, people whose history has been so important to this country, and this administration and many others want to make sure that that gets erased. And this is one of the ways that we continue to make sure we push towards civil rights and equity, making sure that our voices are not erased and our stories are told. And finally, I'm going to mention the R3 program, Restore, Reinvest, and Renew. I have been the chair of the R3 program board for the last 6 years.
And that's time.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Representative Kelly.
Thank you for the question. I am the chair of the Congressional Black Caucus Health Brain Trust. I'm the one that brought the issue of maternal mortality and morbidity to Congress and was able to get legislation passed that extended the Medicaid postpartum period, from 60 days to a year. As was said, black women died 3 to 1 times the rate of white women, but in Illinois, it's even higher than that. I started the Caucus on Black Women and Girls, and we've taken forums all over this country to better the life for black women and girls, from healthcare to finance to education, everything that you can think of. I am currently working on a bill, and I've worked on it with John Rogers. So much money goes to corporations for contracts and things like that. And I'm trying to introduce a bill where we look at, as part of the evaluation, what people do those companies do business with, like who are their lawyers, who are their accountants, who are their auditors, and we're trying to see how much diversity they have. And if they don't have diversity, and specifically if they don't have black lawyers, if they don't have black auditors, investment firms and things like that, then they should not be getting contracts with the government. So we're looking at not only who you hire in your company, but who you do business with outside of your company. And gun violence prevention is still near and dear to my heart, and I was able to help pass the first bill in 30 years, and my part of the bill was trafficking and store purchases, and we know black people are affected by this more than anybody else. Thank you.
Next, a question from Willie Shaw of the Evanston branch of the NAACP.
This is a health care question concerning Medicare and Medicaid. The question is, do you support the full implementation of the Affordable Care Act, including Medicaid expansion and full funding for programs such as Medicaid, SNAP, and CHIP? Secondly, what is your position on the proposal to block grant Medicaid and shift it from an open-ended entitlement to a fixed federal payment program? We will start with candidate Stratton and go to candidate Kelly and then candidate Krishnamurti.
Thank you so much for that question. When I gave my opening statement, I shared that the reason why I ran for office in the first place was because of an effort to strip away health care from seniors like my mother. And it was wrong. And it is still motivating me because I know that there are people, maybe some even in this room or watching online, who are making decisions between whether or not they are going to go to a doctor or pay their bills. And let me make this clear. A GoFundMe account is not a health plan, and we need to do something different. I support Medicare for all because I believe healthcare is a right and not a privilege. I believe everyone who needs a doctor should be able to see a doctor and get the care that they need. So that's what I will fight for in the Senate, making sure that there is universal healthcare, that everyone can get access to the care they need, because this is the number one affordability issue. People cannot afford access to health care, and in this country, everyone should be able to see a doctor when they need one.
That's time. Representative Kelly.
I serve on Energy and Commerce and the Healthcare Subcommittee, so it was my committee and my that committee that helped lower the cost of drugs. We, of course, need to lower more of them, but insulin price went down to $35. I support Medicare for all, and also we have to fight back the big ugly bill, because depending on what happens in November, that bill will be implemented. So we'll have to peel back what they want to do. We'll lose what I just talked about, Medicaid postpartum going to a year. Also, I support paying for dental, hearing aids, and eyeglasses. My husband finally admitted he had hearing problems, and when we bought his hearing aids, they were $9,000. That is absolutely ridiculous. And if you're a senior, it's even worse. So I support including those things in your benefits. And also, I did a lot of work around telemedicine because everybody can't get to the doctor so easily, especially my district is urban, suburban, and rural, and it's a problem in that area. So I did a lot of work around that also. Thank you.
Representative Krishnamurti.
Thank you. My wife's an anesthesiologist. The joke is that we both put people to sleep. So I'm just going to tell you right now, in answer to your question, yes, we have to fully enact the ACA. And that includes expanding Medicaid. So do the full Medicaid expansion. In addition to that, you asked about block granting Medicaid. No, we should not block grant Medicaid. All that does is it's going to reduce care for people who desperately need it. In addition, we should take up my legislation. It's called the Bringing Back Benefits Act. It basically would restore the cuts that were made under what he calls the Big Beautiful Bill. I call it the Large Lousy Law. It's going to strip 13 million people of their health insurance because of those Medicaid cuts, and we should restore those cuts. It hurts places like this, especially because 9 rural hospitals will be closed because of that Big Beautiful Bill I call the Large Lousy Law. And so we should do this and more, including lowering the age to enroll in Medicare, as well as adding a public option to the exchanges. Thank you.
Back to James McFarland from Decatur for the next question.
This one is about affordability. Which costs facing families in Illinois, housing, food, childcare, health care, or utilities, would you prioritize first? And what specific actions would you take as a U.S. Senator to lower them?
All of the above. Look, I think it's a crisis. We're in a crisis right now. The president says that the affordability crisis is a quote-unquote hoax. It's not a hoax, okay? So let me just talk about housing for 1 second. 75% of the housing that's available is out of reach of working families. And so I put forward a proposal as part of our American Dream Plan to provide a tax credit up to 10% of the purchase price of your first home, because especially for young people, it's very hard to pull together the down payment for housing. And buying a home should be part of the American dream that's available to everyone. A very close second priority among all those is food. As a product of food stamps myself, I know that child hunger is on the rise. I've called for a universal free lunches. Where you have this, you see attendance go up, you see learning go up, and you see hunger going down. This is crucial in a time when SNAP benefits are being taken from families and children are being hurt.
Lieutenant Governor.
When I'm traveling the state, the number one issue that often comes up is affordability. Everything is just too expensive right now. And I can tell you that whether it's gas or utilities or housing or whatever else, it is all costing too much right now. Donald Trump said he was going to lower inflation on day one. He said he was going to bring down the price of groceries. He's not only done the opposite of that, he has made everything worse. So for me, we need to pay the people. We need to raise wages. And I have already proposed a $25 an hour federal minimum wage, because the federal minimum wage is now $7.25. Tell me who can take care of their family. It's why so many people in our country are working two and three jobs, and yet the wealthy keep getting wealthier. We need to raise people's wages, pay people so that they can have a little money in their pocket, take care of their children, put food on the table, and maybe save a little and spend a little in our small businesses.
My People Over Profits talks about making millionaires, billionaires, and corporations finally pay their fair share, and using that will cover housing and health care, child care costs, raising wages, and economic development and growth, so we would have economic opportunity. It's hard to say which one you would do because so much is needed, but the first thing we need to do is claw back what he did in the big ugly bill, because that gave over $1 trillion in tax cuts to the well-off and well-connected. So we can do that and then start taxing millionaires, billionaires, and corporations at, you know, a fair rate. And I think that's where we need to start, but we need to do a lot of things at once. I've been in Congress 13 years and only in the majority 4 of those years, so you never know when things are going to change. So we can't go back to business as usual. We need to walk, chew gum, and do everything else at the same time to get it all done. Thank you.
That was followed by Willie Shaw from the Evanston branch of the NAACP.
The next question is a civil rights question, and it is, federal civil rights protection are only effective if they are enforced. What would you do to strengthen the Department of Justice and other federal agencies to aggressively enforce civil rights related to employment, housing, education, and discriminatory policing and voting? We will start with Candidate Stratton, Candidate Kelly, and Candidate Christian Morty next.
Well, we've seen Donald Trump and his influence over the Department of Justice. They are about anything but justice. They've become a department of injustice. And we need to make sure that we have fighters in Washington who are going to stand up and really push to make sure that they are held accountable. But there's something else that must happen that's important. And that comes down to what's happening with our court system. Because when we think about these cases that can end up before judges, we know that the Trump administration has worked very hard to make sure the least qualified are sitting on the bench. So I commit to making sure that I will not confirm any appointment to the cabinet by Donald Trump. I commit that I will not confirm any judges, justices to the United States Supreme Court that are appointed by Donald Trump, because I have no confidence that any of them will make sure that the work of these agencies and departments are going to get done in the best interest of the people.
Representative Kelly.
Right now, the Supreme Court is the Supreme Court, but we need to hold them to the ethical standards that they need to be held to. As members of Congress, we are held to high ethical standards and different standards in the Supreme Court, so we need to correct that. We need anybody that commits hate crimes, they need to pay for it. They need to go to jail. There needs to be more severe punishments for those folks. As you know, he's trying to eat away at all of our civil rights. The other thing is, we need to support organizations like the NAACP, like the Urban League, and like the National Council of Negro Women. I had the opportunity to meet with all of those leaders last week, and we all need to support your organizations because we need to be partners in this. It's not just what we can do alone. We need to hear from people. We need to pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. Did you hold up?
And Representative Krishnamurti.
Well, I think ultimately we need a change in management. I think Project 2028 is get rid of Donald Trump. And that would help a lot in everything that we're talking about today. So going to directly to your question, fully fund the Justice Department Civil Rights Division. They are gutted. People are being taken out. People are leaving. They're also talking right now about basically taking away civil service protections across the board, including in places like the Justice Department, and creating a new quote-unquote Schedule F. Schedule F would strip away the civil service protections of people who are trying to enforce the law, including civil rights law. In addition to this, yes, I concur with Robin, who said talked about the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. It would restore the Section 5 preclearance to prevent discriminatory voting laws that are being put in the formerly Confederate states. There are more than 100 of these laws that have been enacted to restrict IDs and to prevent people from voting, mainly minority people.
Then a question from Brian Lang, community coordinator from the East St. Louis branch of the NAACP.
Considering growing concerns about executive overreach, attacks on independent institutions, and efforts to weaken voting rights and the rule of law, what concrete actions through legislation, oversight, and constitutional authority would you take as a U.S. Senator to defend democracy and hold up the U.S. Constitution?
I voted for the John Lewis Voting Rights Act a couple times already, but we just couldn't get it passed in the Senate, so definitely would push for that. As I said before, pushing for the same ethical standards. Also using every tool in the toolbox. Right now, I filed articles of impeachment against Kristi Noem, and I'm proud to say we're close to 200 members of Congress on that impeachment. And if we don't settle with the Department of Justice, we will move on with the impeachment. So we need to use every tool we can in the toolbox to defend our democracy. We need to work with the AGs, and a shout out to the Democratic AGs. I don't think people realize they have won 80% of the suing that they've done. People only hear about the bad part, but they've won 80%, and we need to do everything we can do to pump them up and assist them in any way that we can. And also, inspector generals, true neutral inspector generals, I would recommend that also.
Okay. First of all, we have to protect the elections, folks. I'm concerned about the 2026 elections right now, let alone anything that's in the future. So one of the things that we have to do right now is, you know, I think we should, at the state level or the federal level, we have to seriously consider criminalizing the intimidation of election workers. This happened throughout the last cycle, and hundreds, if not thousands, of election workers, you saw those cases in Georgia, but they've happened all over the country, basically stopped policing elections. That's wrong. Secondly, we need to have greater congressional oversight powers. Right now, we have subpoenas, but it's very hard to enforce those subpoenas. So we should have additional legislation to make sure that we can actually bring to account people in the administration who are frustrating the will of the people. Finally, you should take up my legislation to prevent ICE and CBP agents anywhere close to a polling station. I believe that ICE and CBP are being treated as a paramilitary force to intimidate the president's political opponents.
Let me just start with just 10 of my 60 seconds to give honor to my father, Henry Wiggins, who I lost in November at the age of 92, who in 1965 marched from Selma to Montgomery alongside future Congressman John Lewis to protest voting rights discrimination. And here we are 60 years later, and voting rights are still under attack. My father has passed the baton to me, and he's passed it to all of us in this room and those watching to make sure we do everything we can. What have we done here in Illinois? Well, we made sure that Election Day is a state holiday, the general election day. We made vote by mail permanent in Illinois. We extended voting hours. Those are concrete things that we did here to make sure people have access to vote. And those are the kinds of things that I want to make sure that we think of concrete things that can be done to make sure people can make their voices heard.
Now we're going to skip to the closing statements. We went in reverse of the opening statements, so we started with Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton.
Well, first of all, let me thank President Theotis Page, again, the Illinois NAACP State Conference of Branches, and all of you for being here today and taking an opportunity to hear from each of us as to the campaign and how we want to serve. And I hope what you have heard from me is that I am ready to fight for the people of Illinois, just as I have for the past 7 years as your lieutenant governor and the years before that as a state legislator. There's something that makes me very proud as Governor Pritzker and I serve this state. The number of people who walk up to me in the wake of what we're seeing coming out of Washington, D.C., who come up and say to me as I'm on the trail, I am so glad that I live in Illinois. And the reason why people say that is because, yes, we have put Illinois on a good path to financial stability. We've passed 7 balanced budgets and earned 10 credit rating upgrades. But we've also been a state that creates access to opportunity, ended preschool deserts, and we're working on that, making sure we made Illinois an island for reproductive freedom. We've stood up for LGBTQ+ rights. We've made sure that we've created thousands of good paying jobs, put Illinois on a path to a clean energy future. That's the kind of leadership that we need in Washington, D.C. right now. Not someone who talks about what we could do, but someone who knows how to get it done. And that's exactly what I've done. I am asking you for your support because this seat is open for the first time in 3 decades. And it's not just a seat. It matters who's in the seat to stand up to the chaos that we see coming out of Washington, D.C. I am the fighter that's needed to meet this moment, and I ask you to go to julianastratton.com to join the team. Thank you for having me.
Congressman Krishnamurti.
Thank you again to President Theodis Pace for having us. Thank you to the moderators. Thank you to all of you for taking precious time out of your busy schedules, and thank you to this wonderful church for allowing us to be here. I'm running for the U.S. Senate to preserve, protect, and defend the American dream, which is under mortal assault from Donald J. Trump. You can just look at my personal story to understand what I'm talking about. That legal immigration system that enabled us to come to this country is being dismantled as we speak. The food stamps and the public housing that enabled us to survive is on the chopping block now. And those Peoria public schools, along with all public schools that were the gateway to the American dream, are under assault as Donald Trump seeks to close the Department of Education. So we're left with one question I respectfully submit to you. What kind of a government do we want? What kind of a government do we want? Do we want a government that's there for those fighting to make it, or a government that's primarily catering to those who have it made? I say we want a government that's trying to cultivate the American dream for everyone. Regardless of whether you're working poor, middle class, or growing a business, and regardless of where you come from. But in this fight, we have to take the fight wherever we can. That means in the courts. That means in the press. That means in the courts of public opinion. That means in the Congress and, yes, the U.S. Senate. But we can never, ever, ever surrender our values. That means freedom, equality, and opportunity for everyone, regardless of who you are. So that is why I'm running for the U.S. Senate, to make sure that same dream that was available to my family is there for everyone. I respectfully request your support. I thank you for your attention, and I thank you for your consideration. God bless.
Congresswoman Kelly.
Thank you to the NAACP, the church, and all of you for being here. I often say you could be anywhere you wanted to be, but you chose to be with the three of us today. So thank you so very much. I am Robin Kelly, and I'm working very hard to be your U.S. Senator. As I said, I have the biggest Democratic district in Illinois, urban, suburban, and rural, and I know no matter where you are, people are angry, they're worried, they're upset about what's happening. Donald Trump is pitting neighbor against neighbor instead of holding corporations, millionaires and billionaires responsible and accountable. In the Senate, every day I will concentrate on your affordability and the accountability. I'm not a big talker. I'm a workhorse. I'm not a show horse. I know some of you are my constituents because I have a part of Champaign County, and I've delivered in every part of my district in my 13 years in Congress. Whether you voted for me or not, I feel like we all do better when we all do better, and I want all of us to do better, and I feel like it's my job to lift all boats. So if you want a workhorse, not a show horse, if you want someone that's transformative, not transactional, if you want someone that's unbossed, unbought, and does the work, please, robinforsenate.com. Thank you.
That concludes our shortened version of the February 15th U.S. Senate Forum featuring Democratic candidates Robin Kelly, Raja Krishnamoorthy, and Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton. Thank you to the NAACP Champaign County President Minnie Pearson and Theodis Pace, President of the Illinois State Conference of the NAACP, for asking me to serve as moderator of the forum. It was my honor. Dialogue and Illinois Soul are part of Illinois Public Media, a service of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. I'm Reginald Hardwick. Thank you for listening to Dialogue. We'll talk with you again next week.